Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Jesus called us to take up our cross daily, but he also offered living water. Following him is both a call to surrender and an invitation to wholeness. The two are not at odds. They're divine partners. Today, we're going to explore how dying to self and living abundantly can coexist. Dying to self and living abundantly can coexist. Sounds like an oxymoron there. Looking forward to this conversation. Good morning, Pastor Munga.
Good morning, Sister Munga and our listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us once again, Pastor. I trust that you've had a good week.
Very good week. And I enjoyed the previous conversation and even hearing your opinion about this and that. It was a wonderful moment to listen to that.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you were blessed by that. And I'm looking forward to being blessed once again with this conversation. We've been hearing from mothers and women just talking about some of the challenges that they've faced in trying to take care of themselves, trying to practice that self-care and balancing it with self-sacrifice, the difficulty of maintaining those boundaries. Sometimes we know how to maintain the boundaries, but there's still guilt attached to that. So we don't get to enjoy the self-care part of it because we're thinking, hey, when I give to myself, I'm taking away from someone else. So I'm looking forward to this conversation and just getting a deeper understanding once and for all about how self-sacrifice and self-care can complement one another, should complement one another in the Christian life. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It is for sure. I must also comment and say that for sure women, the women folk, the females undergo a lot. But one other thing that you also be interested to learn is that research shows that women can handle stress and anxiety better than men. Mm. They are more resistant to stress and regardless of what they pass through, they are more resistant to stress, depression compared to men. Mm-hmm. So we need to honor you in a very special way.
Yeah.
Just
to interrupt you there, because I'm thinking someone out there is thinking, oh, women are better able to handle stress, so they must be given more stress. That means that they know how to handle the thing. So it's fine.
Yes, that's the amazing thing. We also have to underscore the reality that we are living in a patriarchal world.
Yeah.
The setup of every society is patriarchal. A man is there. You are coming from the field. Some of us who are in the village, we are plowing. The women were working. Yeah. When you arrive home, you get stools, you sit under the tree, then the women start cooking.
Yeah. Yeah.
They start go to look for water, to look for firewood. While men are relaxing under the tree. Mm. So even from that setup, but like I said, it's an honor thing that to realize that actually women are more resistant than men.
Interesting.
Self-sacrifice and self-care. Mm. For sure, when you look at them from the surface, they seem to be contradicting each other.
Yeah.
I'm speaking from Rusangu University. Now, this Rusangu University that we have in Zambia, this is the birth of Adventism in Zambia, where the missionaries landed from in 1905 to bring the Advent message. I'm looking at two things here. Looking at what this place was in 1904, no roads, nothing around. There was no minerals that, no, after they established a mission, they'll benefit that. No, they brought their resources here. And just near this university here, you're welcome, please, to come at one of your times when you're on break or so.
Yeah.
There's a graveyard for missionaries. Mm. A lot of them died from malaria, tropical diseases.
Yeah.
They were not used to them, so a lot of them died. We are talking about the aspect of sacrifice, self-sacrifice. Mm. Someone says someone must hear the good news in Northern Rhodesia, as it was called that time. They give their time, they give their resources. On the other side, again, we talk about self-care. Much as they did all the sacrifice, what these people did was to establish farms here. Whatever they wanted, they planted here. Whatever they wanted to do, they put it here. Gardens, grow food, and even not only growing food for themselves, but even teaching the whole community to be self-reliant, that you need to have nutritious food. You need to have this, you need to have that, so that you have got that balanced life. Much as you have sacrificed this, but at the same time, you do not sacrifice your health, because your health is the engine for doing this work. Yes, you have sacrificed your time, you have sacrificed this, but at the same time, you have to look at yourself. That for me to do this well, I need to give my body this, I need time to rest. Like you said, I think even the other comment, that we need time. When you just pause, you are not doing anything. I just want to relax. I've done my work, I've done this, but now I can find time to rest and even to relax. So that is very important.
Yeah.
Although the line is very thin between self-sacrifice and self-care.
Yeah.
It's not an easy balance to maintain.
And why is it important to be spiritually, mentally, and physically well to serve others effectively? We're trying to care for ourselves, right? Why is it, how does that impact the way that we serve the rest of the community?
Just like we talked about machines yesterday, like a car or the other day, for a car to be effective, you need to service it. In other words, you put it in a position where you get the full potential. If oil is leaking, water is leaking, some tires are punctured, it will not give you the best. So even for me to put in, to give my best as a pastor, as a minister, I need to be spiritually well, mentally well, physically well. But if as I am talking, I'm coughing, I've got this pain somewhere, I will not put in my best. So we need to, for our full potential to be realized, to have that peak performance, we need to be in our best. So no wonder, like we said yesterday, love others as you love yourself, meaning care for others as you care for yourself. You start with yourself. Am I spiritually well? Am I mentally well? Am I physically well? Am I feeding my soul well? Do I have a balanced life? Because you can be doing spiritually well, praying all the time, but you don't have time for resting.
Exactly.
You don't have the mental faculties that are not in their good, because at times we go to extremes as human beings, from praying to fasting, to preaching, to witnessing, praying, fasting. You don't even have time to rest. You don't even have time to socialize with the friends alike. It should not be so. Life is supposed to be balanced. I have done my preaching. I have done my meditation. But now it's time to relax.
Yeah.
I go to the Victoria Falls. I pause. Or I go for a trip to South Africa just as a tourist. Just to also to refresh mentally and physically. That is important. Not another mission trip. I put my Bible in my briefcase. And I go to those islands there, Ruben Island and the Courtyard Hotel there, just to relax.
Yes. You know, it makes me think of my husband and I were talking a few days ago about our childhood and the way that every Christmas season, festive season, when everybody else is going on holiday, we were going to our rural homes, and not for the sake of relaxing and enjoying. No, we were going there for farming. I hate that so much. Like, it's the holidays. Can we get some rest? But I guess to our parents.
But now that's when you're more busy.
Exactly. Now we're more busy. We're doing even more work. And we just can't wait to get back to school now, because school was less work than when we're on holiday. But anyway, can neglecting yourself hinder your ministry and your family life?
No, it can. If we can start with the family life. I need quality time with my wife. I need quality time with my children. And quality is quality. Unrushed time with her. Unrushed time with my family. My wife or my children should not make an appointment to meet me. I must have time that they know that this time is intentionally meant for them.
Yeah.
There are times when I chat with our boy. Maybe at times, especially before he goes to school, maybe up to 1 a.m.
Oh, wow.
I hear the stories from school, unrushed time. I don't have to say, no. From here, I want to do this and that. There's this other I have to write. I do to do this research, this prepare for this presentation. No. We need that time for our families, and also that time for ourselves. Because when we do not do that, then my ministry will suffer. It's like you are running a car on an empty tank. It can go maybe momentum. If you see sliding a hill, it will go through that momentum of sliding down.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the flat surface, it will come to a standstill. It will stop. And above all, you won't enjoy your ministry. And the people you see you are saving won't enjoy. I've also had sometimes when some people say, ah, Pastor, you look exhausted. So, yeah, people see it on you.
What you're saying is making me think of, you know, the one thing you've been hammering on about throughout this week is the importance of boundaries. And from what you're saying, it sounds like if your boundaries are clear, then you are able to do all the things that you need to do and do them effectively. Meaning, if my boundaries are clear, that my family time, this is my family time, then I can give my family that time fully. I can immerse myself completely in what I'm doing with my family. I don't have at the back of my mind that assignment that I've not yet completed. I don't have that other thing that I still needed to do or that call that I missed. I'm not thinking about that right now because my time is so clearly demarcated that this is time for my family. When it's time for work and my family knows that unless there's an emergency, at this time, I'm doing my work. I'm able to completely focus on my work. The lines are not blurred. So while I'm at work and I have someone, I know where the family is. I know my children are safe wherever they are, whether it's at school, or there's a caregiver at home, whatever it is. But when things are clear, you're able to apply yourself completely to what it is that you're doing. If it's clear, not just to yourself, but even to the people in your community, and they know that at this time, this person is studying the Bible. She's in her own personal Bible study. When they know that I don't have to be anxious that someone could burst through the door at any moment to come and ask me for breakfast or something like that. I don't have to worry about that because I know and everyone around me knows from this time is time for personal Bible study. From this time to that time, that's when she's working. And during that time, she's doing that completely. She is focused. She's in it. During this time, she's with her family. On Sabbath, she's at church. Don't bother. And I don't have to worry that, oh, my phone is going to ring. I don't have to worry about any emails that are coming through. Just knowing for myself and my community, knowing that these are the boundaries, I think that helps you so that you don't then hinder your ministry. You don't hinder your family life. Nothing is suffering because during the time that you have for all those important aspects, you are applying yourself 100%.
You are right. The challenge that we have now is that life has been disrupted by technology.
Mm-hmm.
Your phone suggests that you have to be available. You are available to the whole world
24/7. Yes.
Now, that is disruption. We were not ready for it. And it has come.
Yeah.
Say that you are available. I can reach you anytime. 01, I've got something. Ah, sit up wrong. I forgot to talk to her about this. I send a message at 01. You wake up, maybe just wanted to check. There's an emergency. No. Can we do this? This and that. So that disruption, we seem to be having challenges on how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, I had decided something whereby when I go for lunch, I leave my phone, my laptop in the office. 1 p.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay.
I leave it in the office.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm eating, I'm not disrupted because I'm having lunch
time. Yeah, right.
And it's time for like official. And then at 5 p.m., I knock off.
Yeah.
So what I used to do was to, when I knock off from the office now that is at home, I would leave the laptop in the office. I leave the phone in the office until morning. So that I have knocked off.
Yeah.
And that used to help me a lot. And I'm trying to revisit that to say, I think I may need to go to that.
Yeah.
Because if you don't deliberately establish boundaries, then your life will be flooded with everyone throughout.
Yes, it's true.
And that is at the expense of your health.
That's very true. Very true. And these smartphones were supposed to make our lives easier. Technology was supposed to make our lives easier. It has just made us more accessible, and that makes our lives so much more difficult, more complicated. Because now, like I said, someone sends an email and you are just like, I can't ignore it. It's my boss. I can't ignore that phone call. It's exactly. Someone really important. I have to respond. And next thing you know, you've lost the whole time that you were supposed to be with your family, or the whole time that you were supposed to be, you know, maybe having a workout or something else, something really important that you needed, that you had scheduled for yourself, but you've put yourself on the back burner as usual so that you could serve everyone else. Sure. Now, how can spiritual disciplines like prayer and reflection refill your cup? I know that we often talk about, you know, getting enough sleep, and those are all wonderful things, getting enough sleep and, you know, just having that quiet time. But what about prayer, reflection, that personal Bible study?
Now, those disciplines are very important because they are like taking your car to the fuel station, to the filling station, so that you feel prayer, like it has been said, this is a breath of the soul. So if you are not praying, it's like you are not breathing. But when you are, if you are not breathing, what happens? You suffocate.
Yeah.
So even prayer, you are pouring your heart, talking to God as to a friend. Mm. What is inside you? Talking about praising Him, talking about making confessions, and adoring Him, interceding for another person somewhere. That enhances our health. Like we have said over and over, there are many benefits, health benefits, spiritual benefits, mental benefits for prayer.
Mm.
It builds your life, just like prayer and meditation, start of the word of God, they go together. As you look at the life of Abraham, he is a man, 100 years, the promise is still coming.
Mm.
No, you have a child. This one does this. He fails God, but God still comes back to this. And as you meditate, you look at how God has dealt with his people.
Yeah.
You say, I'm in a similar situation. And the way God handled this, this is the same way you handle this situation. It may not be exact, but the principles are the same. I need to walk with God. So you find that that rejuvenates your life. You are talking to God in prayer, and He is talking to you in the study of the Word of God.
Mm.
Except like we have said, the technology now suggests that you need to rush everything.
Yeah.
But we need to have a moment where you are back to the altar. Unrushed time in the presence of God.
Yeah.
Unrushed. You are with this time for studying His Word. And that time is not rushed that you are looking at the watch. No. There will be news at 7 p.m. So let me do a Bible study. Let me start the Bible these 15 minutes as you are studying. You're also looking at the watch. It should not be like that.
True.
We need that unrushed time in the presence of God, that meditation, that reflection. And then as we do that, we are filling our own cup. Even when you are standing before we are making a presentation, you have come from a deep well.
Mm.
Actually, even when you are preaching, the preparation you do, you find you prepare for the whole week or the whole month. And many of you are going to speak there for 25 minutes. So who has benefited more? It is the one who is doing the presentation.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
Because you have drank from the deep wells.
Yes.
And then you are refreshed. Even when you go to others, you have been refreshed, and then you can also effectively refresh others.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And finally, what does abundant life really mean when we're also carrying a cross? The Christian life, we're told that Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. So we don't expect this world to be a walk in the park. But how do we then have that abundant life while also carrying the cross?
Yes, Christ left us that that promise for sure. He made that we shall have tribulations this world, but he also said, I have overcome the world.
Mm.
And then in John 14, verse 27, he says, I have given you my peace. My peace I live with you. And the word that is there, Irene, the Greek word for peace, or shalom in the Hebrew language, talks about peace beyond the silence of guns. As is when you talk about peace, you are talking about there's no war in South Africa. So we take it that there's peace there. There's no war in Zambia, so there's peace.
Mm.
But the peace that God mentioned is more than that. We are talking about you are surrounded with challenging moments. But in the midst of that, God is present,
yeah,
and God has not forgotten you. There's a sea creature. I have to look for the name. A sea creature, you find it, it has got a shell. When the storms are very violent, it will close itself and it will go to the bottom of the sea, right in the sand there, and it closes itself.
Mm-hmm.
So the storm, the water is passing on top, but it has closed itself there.
Mm.
That is the peace in the midst of the chaos around.
Yeah.
You are at peace that I'm with someone where I am. Like the case of Joseph. He's in a prison. The Bible says the Lord was with him. He's in the pit. The Lord was with him. He's a slave. The Lord was with him. That's what we need in our life. Mm. You have got the challenges, but the presence of God, that is abundant life.
Mm.
Because in the gift of Christ in your presence, you have got everything. You have everything. You have got abundant life. You have an assurance. And above all, we know that in this earth, there is something better.
Mm.
We are passing through this.
Amen.
We love this world. And actually, as human beings, actually, we would love to be here forever. In this bad life.
Yeah.
But the assurance that there is something better that we are waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
It revives our hope, even when there is a thorn in your flesh, that there is something better. Let me also give you a short testimony here.
Okay.
When we are working, like you just talked about, we are also from a farming background.
Mm-hmm.
And on this day, we are working, handling animals, cows, and then my hand hit on the ground and there was a thorn there. That was 1990. And that thorn came out this year in January. About 33 or 34 years.
Sure.
Even when I came over to South Africa, and I was still nursing a wound in January.
Yeah.
A thorn in the flesh for 33 or 34 years.
Mm.
But I had a living. This thorn will come out and I'll be very comfortable. And on that beautiful night, it was so painful that when I pressed it, it just opened on its own.
Sure.
And the stuff came out.
Sure.
So, as we pass through challenges, the better, the best is yet to come.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful story of hope, just giving us that reminder that, you know, even though things might be difficult, we might be going through the hard times right now, that there's something better on the other side. And I guess that's how we balance the abundant life and the carrying. When Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, that's how it's a little bit of that hope. So I think the balance teaches us that this is not our home, like you said. We're just passing through and there's something positive to look forward to. And that's a beautiful reminder. How would you wrap up this conversation? This is our last conversation on the subject for the week. What are the most important points that you want to make sure that none of our listeners will forget?
In the first place, we are supposed to live with our focus on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is also important for us to remember that no human being is an island.
Mm.
We are there for each other. No wonder the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
What I want others to do to me is what I want to do to them. Above all human beings are related. We are coming from two parents, Adam and Eve. You may be in South Africa, the other may be in India, the other may be somewhere, but we are one big family. And this big family has got a blessed hope that one day we will leave this earth.
Mm.
One day we will have to leave this earth. So every day is a preparation for that great moment.
Amen.
Let us treat each other the way Jesus would treat. The way you treat your husband, you treat your children, anyone you meet, ask yourself, is this the way Jesus could have treated this person?
Mm.
At the same time, we also have to balance that we are not human doings. We are not machines.
Yeah.
We are human beings made of flesh and blood. As I work, I also need to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus demonstrated that he worked and he also rested.
Amen.
So we need to work, give ourselves, but at the same time, we also have to intentionally, without a sense of guilt, rest. And even to my minister, my fellow pastors out there, It is not a sin to cross your Bible and then you sit under a tree, you go somewhere, you relax. It is important.
Amen. Amen.
Those boundaries are important. And also to our church members out there, they need to pray for us and also to help us maintain boundaries. That we, much as we are pastors, we cannot be everywhere. We cannot be available 24/7.
Yeah.
But to working together, we can help each other to be effective as we serve you, as you also pray for us. I think those could be my last words.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Pastor. It's been a beautiful conversation throughout this week. Wonderful lessons that you've shared. And I trust that as we move forward, we'll find a way to find that healthy balance between caring for ourselves and caring for our communities. Thank you so much for your time. And until the next time we chat, God bless you.
Thank you so much. It has been a great pleasure. God bless you and bless our listeners.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.